Amen. You may be seated. Let us move forward in our dissertation. Take out your document. Everybody should have one. Not, there should be a few back on the table, the excerpts. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions, actualization in eternity, for manifestation in time. Now we're into volume 2. Amen. As we begin this journey in our dissertations, probably around a 2-year, amen, hallelujah, exposition. In volume 1, remember we talked about God's ontological existence in himself. Existence of everything was actualized, initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. All possibilities actualized in God's eternal decree. Talked about the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Also, is the locale of God's created acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or in the sphere of time? We looked at God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were actualized by his decree in eternity and manifested in the time capsule. And that's the heart of our dissertation. Amen. Such that the capsule of time renders creation exclusively in eternity. So here from that we draw the timelessness of God. The factual impact of daily decisions and choices as we view them, which are not actually daily decided. I think we talked about that a little bit in Sunday Bible study this morning. Then conjoining faith to free will. When you put faith and free will together, it inevitably induces futility or uselessness. Then we spoke about scripture analysis of human limitations, which are 100%, as opposed to human perceptions of how things work. We must get these perceptions straight in our hearts and our minds. Otherwise, life will wear you out. And so where that puts us is viewing the temporary worldly from the eternal heavenly. Goes back to our salvation, eternally confirmed election or choice. Then we ended up volume 1 with temporal and eternal things compared. Now we have moved into volume 2, and for those that are viewing us from the webcast, we welcome you and we direct you to the website audio video links, and in there, either one, there's an icon. You click on the icon. This document, volume 2 and volume 1, but volume 2 is where we're focusing presently. Scripture distinctions of actualization. The thing is actualized in eternity, and it only revealed or manifested in time. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Take your Bibles. And let's go to our theme scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. We had been in exegesis of that. Amen. Verse 16. It conveys the pre-assignment of God having in eternity assigned knowledge. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is a sign. So, well, I just picked that up while I've known. No, you didn't just pick anything up. You know, especially something valuable. If so, point me down a certain street where there's values and I'll go there. But you don't just pick things up. Everything that you have and will ever get has been assigned to you. Has been assigned to you. Yes, even the unfortunate things that we experience, they're assigned, but for purpose. Everybody say purpose. We had moved down to verse 16 again. Elder, why don't you read that from the King James? Verses 16 to the end of the chapter. And then from the Greek interlineal. And from there, exegesis. And from there, explanation of the exegesis. You know what? When I get through with that, it's time to sit down. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody got it? Amen. All right, Elder, read.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning verse 16, King James Version. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
Now see, when we get into the reading from the Greek text, and specifically in exegesis, we have the enlightened, I call it the enlightened, eternal, enlightened version. Verses, how it is spoken here, as it would be communicated using matrix language.
Right.
Keep reading.
Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
You see how it has you on a journey. Mm-hmm. And you're moving through him, of course. In testimony aspect, we are moving through time with none of this accomplished, which makes it kind of shaky, especially when it's dependent upon our participation and our contributions to bring it to pass. But thank God, amen, it goes deeper than that. Keep reading.
Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
You may get there in the matrix. It looks like you're moving through and you could end up anywhere. Anything can go down. This is what make worry warts out of us. You know, because you don't know how things are going to turn out. And when you're speaking from time and you're looking from time and you're assessing from time, that's what you get. Thank God as we move forward here, the eternal view.
Yeah.
Everybody say the eternal view.
The eternal view.
Amen. Shows the completeness of all of this. Verse 20.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Which is an assurance clause of the verse there. It gives assurance, but the confidence is even more drawn from the completed aspects of what he will now read. All right. Finish that up. Yeah, you can finish it up.
Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Now we can really rest in this as we go back and we convey this from the essence of where things actually abide. As he has read this translation, it speaks from time and manifestations in time.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks from processes.
Yeah.
Now let's go back and look at purpose actualized in eternity according to that which God declared and decreed in his word. One saying. All right, now for those that are watching and listening, we utilize the Greek interlinear simply because it is arranged and arrayed such that you have the Greek scripting and the English word under each Greek word. And so this ties his hand closer to what's there. And if he goes off track, he has to put some type of asterisk or bookmark or something there. Let you know, hey, you know, I'm veering off from what's there. All right. And if you do not have it, just follow along with your translation. All right, Brother Deacon, start reading.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16,
mm-hmm.
The interlinear Greek text.
Yep.
In order that he may give you according to the riches of the glory of him.
Now, here again, I'm going to interject there. The Greek verb there, so, is what we call a subjunctive aorist. And we interject this because its expression is may have been given.
Right.
In other words, Apostle Paul is addressing congregation and realizes that some have been preassigned, others have not, and he doesn't know who they are. So here he expressed that he may have given you. Read.
According to the riches of the glory of him,
mm-hmm.
by power to become mighty.
Again, you have an infinitive there,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the aorist tense,
yeah.
which is to become, having become. In other words, if it's actualized in eternity, it will manifest in time. Now we go through this very slowly because when you get this, when you comprehend this, it enables confidence.
Yes, sir. Come on with
it. In other words, we can relax. You don't get caught up in the processes to the point
mm-hmm.
where we're confined in them
yes.
because the restriction of walking through processes in the matrix subjects you to many things. And some of them, I should say, none of them we should worry about, because nothing is actually there in the matrix, and whatever God has actualized in eternity works for you, not against you. Keep reading.
To become, having become mighty through the Spirit of Him.
Now we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And we're reading from the Greek interlineal text. To become, having become mighty
through the Spirit of Him in the inward man.
See there? Where? Where's the locale? Not physically, but spiritually. These are spiritual communications. Another place, Paul writes, natural man don't understand the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually understandable. They're not physically understandable. In other words, you're not looking around in life trying to figure out what God is doing.
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Looking around in life saying, what's happening? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Looking around in life for answers. No.
No way.
We must go to the Word of God. So Robert, to me in the Old Testament, your word is a what?
Lamp
to my feet. What? Light unto. In other words, the word guides and leads. That should be elementary, but that goes right by us, because we get caught up in things and thinking that what we see is what it is.
Yeah.
When nothing is actually in the matrix. Nothing is actually situated in time other than testimony. So to know what that thing is, we must focus eternally.
Mm-hmm.
Where things actually abide.
Mm-hmm.
In the Word of God. And a saying. All right, read verse 17.
Verse 17. To dwell.
Stop. Again, an infinitive.
Yeah.
But it's what, Brother Deacon?
Aorist infinitive.
Aorist infinitive. Pastor, you're wearing us out. Because you're telling us that the thing that we see is not it. The thing that you see is an expression of something in process as far as testimony is concerned. With the actualized version elsewhere. You're going through something and that thing is beating you up. You can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't rest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've all been there, and some of us are there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that this thing is going to ruin me, it's going to mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. Not.
Not.
The inner man.
Mm-hmm.
You notice here where the communication goes.
Mm-hmm.
The actual you.
Mm-hmm.
Is you in the body of Christ.
Thank God.
The testimony expression of you are in these bodies. But oh my God, thank you, Lord. Not for long. Everybody said temporary.
Temporary.
Temporary. All right, Brother Deacon, keep reading.
To dwell, having dwelled, Christ, through faith in the hearts of you, in love, having been rooted.
You see, he picked that one up.
And having been founded.
When were you rooted and grounded?
In eternity.
In the actualized essence of where you are.
That's right. That's right.
Not in process.
No.
Of being established in Christ. You were in Christ before you were ever encapsulated in manifestations in this body. Verse 18.
In order that ye may have strength, having had. May having had strength.
Yeah, right, right. You see, he's got that Greek word up above him, and he can't escape. Wherein the English translator can edit. He can move wherever he wants to make us comfortable with the earthly temporary view, a process of you moving through something. Life is much easier, less strain, when we know that all things are already accomplished. Your tomorrow is already set, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And we are victors, not victims. Isn't that something? To have the victory won before the game even, the contest even starts. Oh, give God a praise. What this is telling us. That is when it is uttered. And this is why we move in exegesis. Because we cannot begin to stand here and explain something before we have the correct utterance of what we're trying to explain. Wrong utterance, wrong explication and explanation. Read.
To having apprehended.
Say, Pastor, this is crazy. We don't talk like that. No, in time, we don't. You don't stay say, I went shopping. Oh yeah, when did you go shopping? Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't say that. No. But the Holy Spirit is not speaking from the platform of time, but from the plateau of eternity, looking down on life instead of around in life. Which is the better view? Which is the better view? Absolutely. The eternal perspective. Overlooking that ditch that you may fall in tomorrow.
That's right.
To know that the ditch was there. It was decreed for you to fall in it, but also, amen, there's life beyond the ditch. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. There's life beyond our problems, and God is bigger than all of this. Don't confine God to a particular place, location, and situation. Whether it's good or bad, amen, God is bigger than it. Read.
to having apprehended with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth.
Now, here, notice there are four. And say, well, there are only three. There are only three planes. There are only three dimensions. Why does he have four there? Well, the first not the gate is not physical. Now, most of the translations, and we'll get to that somewhere down the road, they have rendered that breath, and of course, when you ask what that is, we start looking around for something physical to attribute it to. That Greek word means extent, a purpose, which is not physical. And it controls the other three. All right, we'll get back to that. Keep going. That's not where I'm going today.
And to know, having known.
So this guy is crazy. No, based upon what?
The
eternal decree of God having already determined what it is, and in also, it is because his declaration of it is what brings it into existence. So it already exists. Well, I don't see it yet. Well, amen. Thank God. Scripture teaches us we're not looking at the seen, but we're looking at what?
The unseen.
And so this is why we painstakingly go through these verses to set forth the actual saying, the actual utterance, so that we are in line and on board with the Holy Spirit's communication. All right, read.
And to know, having known, the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be, having been filled to all the fullness of God.
My Lord. All right, we're going to stop there. I want you to go to page 2 of your document. And of course, Brother Deacon, we got that straight. They were right last week. Amen. That beginning of that verse in verse 17, we're going to start there today as you look at this script in here on page 2 at the bottom, and those that are following us. Amen. You can be able to keep up with us better if you are viewing the document as you're following along, amen, with the dissertation. The literal Greek translation there, and that first word is katechise, which I stand corrected from last, I'm looking at the ending also. It is an infinitive. What is an infinitive? It's a verbal noun. Okay, so that two is there because that's the way we treat it in English. But it is in the what?
Aorist
tense. All right. So we start that two and take your pen and don't be, this is your workbook. Mark it up. That Christ too dwelled. Take me out and put two in. All right, Brother Deacon, why don't you read the literal English translation as we in exegesis have outlaid before us.
Reading the literal English translation at the bottom of page 2, that Christ to dwell,
mm-hmm.
having dwelled,
mm-hmm.
through faith in your hearts,
mm-hmm.
in love, having been rooted and grounded, that you may be, having been strengthened, to comprehend, having comprehended with all the saints, what the breadth and length and depth and height, to know, having known also the love of Christ that is exceeding the knowledge, that you may be, having been filled to all the fullness of God.
What is exceeding here is the eternal view. So we're talking about eternal comprehension and eternal knowledge. Everybody say the eternal view. Now, going back to our theme, how the scriptures distinguish, how they differentiate actualization, which is where? In eternity, from manifestation or revelation, which is where?
In
time. Of what we call life. That we call is the representation of the matrix and what's outlaid there. And basically, that's what our conscience is moving through in frames each day. And in each day, there are trillions of frames documenting sequences. And you may have millions of frames per second. I think the fastest camera records, I think it's in the thousands, right? It's a hundred thousand. There are millions of them. Of nano instances. Time that it takes you to move your hand, how many frames do you think you've gone through, man? Each one of them is by design.
Mm-hmm. Come on with it. Come on with it.
Whether you move your hand to your ear or to your arm, you didn't do that on your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just make us robots. We're creatures. What is a creature? That which has been created. What's the base word for created? Design. 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 Programmed, if you will. You saying we're programmed? Oh, yes. The ultimate program is that we're depraved. We're useless.
Mm-hmm.
Of ourselves, we're nothing. In Him, we're everything. We don't know anything except what? It is given to us.
Amen.
Even the boneheaded, stupid moves that we make, it is the matter of God not checking the automatic pilot
mm-hmm.
of depravity.
Amen.
I hear you.
Amen.
Can the creature function independently of the Creator? The answer to that is no. What enables the energy?
Glory.
The Creator.
Come on.
look at a few definitions from our glossary. Brother Deacon, I'm going to call it and then you read it. Cognitive.
Cognitive. The process of acquiring knowledge through reasoning, intuition, or thought perception.
Now that is in the natural definition-wise, as we look here, cognitive, that is receiving knowledge through the scriptures. Conception.
The origination or beginning, that is, the act or power of forming an idea or substance.
Now, everything that you actually conclude that is genuine has been sourced to you from God. If it came out of my own mind, independent of God, that thing is messed up.
Jesus.
If it's through humanness, it's unreliable. It's downright dangerous. Essence.
Fundamental source in depiction or of description.
Core of it. The center. The beginning point.
Yes.
In scientism, they view it as singularity. And what they've come up with is a black hole. Of our life is Christ. Everybody say, Christ is my life. Everything is according to Christ. And as we get down into relativity, that will become so apparent to us as we deal with the subject of relativism. Everybody say, relativism. That's how things relate. Everything has to relate to God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Nothing should relate to us. We are according to God.
Absolutely.
Who we are is tied to who God is. Because we are part of Him. As members of the body. Body of Christ. One more. Existence.
Existence. The state of being real or actually current rather than imagined.
Now, the only way you get there, get out of the imaginations, because someone has said imagination is one of the lines of nations in the world, that you focus into the actual. Understanding that the actual has to be tied to the source. The source of life, He is life. Colossians 1:16, all things were created what?
In
Him. Not by Him, remote from Him. In Him. Now as we look back at verse 17. The first part of their reasoning. Read that again, Brother Deacon, from the interlinear.
The literal English translation of Ephesians 3:17 through 19.
Just 17.
17. That Christ to dwell, having dwelled, through faith,
through in, faithfulness, where?
In your hearts.
In your, you know, perception. Which must be dominated by the word of God, the scripture, the saying.
That's right.
To get to the essence of who you are and where things actually are, you're focusing on Him.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from Him, these are all expressions or testimonies. And to be on the right track, we have to focus on Him.
Right,
now this is laborious and tough, and someone said, Pastor, why are you taking us through all of this? Because those whom God will cause and have cause to understand and grasp this, you're going to have a head start on life.
Absolutely.
And whatever's waiting for you this week is not going to keep you up all night. And whatever quote goes wrong, in God nothing ever goes wrong. When you say goes wrong, we said this has gone the opposite of my plan. We call them accidents and incidents, and in God they are neither. Because it's all established and complete and finished in eternity. You know, as Mother Goodloe Johnson said, it's already done. And God help us to get to the point that we don't sit around each day worrying about stuff that's already done. That's the purpose of this exercise. And we're going to go through it real slowly. I want you to turn to page 5 in our introduction. Remember last week we had gone through the first two paragraphs, and we start today on the third paragraph. Or the last paragraph on the page, page 5. Everybody's turning there. You got it where it says Scripture Revelations. Now, with the information we have garnered in going through an exegesis, we're going to take these ingressions into explication, which is drawn from the exegesis. In other words, we're explaining from correct interpretation. We're not talking from time, we're talking from eternity. Everybody with us? Say amen. Last paragraph, reading page 5. Scripture revelations, everybody says
scripture revelations,
avow that the Creator is sovereign, is in sovereignty vindicated in Him having ordered creation to whatever He specifically desired. God is right in whatever He has done. This enlightenment is comprehensible of command and substance solely in the sphere of world, eternality. This doesn't make sense in time. In time we say, God, couldn't you have done that another way? The answer is, whatever He does is the best way it could ever be. Even if that thing didn't work out according to what your prayers were, it worked out the best way it could work out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Amen.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could have that kind of confidence in Him? almost like, we look around and we say, Lord, are you sure? It's like, this doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense to me, but that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It simply means it doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So as we look into the sphere of eternality, we have insurmountable acknowledged that God is right in whatever he does. Oh, we sing that song. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Do what you want to do. We're just singing. You don't want God to do whatever he wants to do. You want him to do what you want him to do.
Lord.
We just sing. Repent of things. God's way is the right way.
And the best way.
Give him a praise this morning. All right, give me 10 minutes and I'm just going to pull out. We got something else we have to do this morning. This is exposed. You see where I am? Fourth line. In his facilitated testimony, as the scripturally venerable regulation of life. In addition, this is the indisputable avowal that serves as the sufficient purpose in life. God is a purpose God. I might do some things sometimes. In fact, I do things a lot. And say, why did I do that? And we bring God down to our level.
Yes.
Everything that he does, it is according to completion and perfection of his purpose. So this indisputable vow serves as the sufficient purpose in our life. I don't understand it, but God has a purpose for it.
Yes.
And his purpose is right, and his purpose is good, and his purpose is the best. Oh, my God. Because I have confidence that it works for me, not against me. Now this is clearly, reading again, this is clearly eternally discerned as the Creator's will, what qualifies and quantifies in existence. Most religions in human history have consistently asserted the existence of a created God, but hardly any of them agree as to what such in conceptual role invokes as defining origination and meaning and direction of life. In other words, what does that mean, Creator, in relationship to what's happening around me? Is God involved in anything? Or maybe something? Some things. Or is he the essence and the source and purpose of everything? Is it anything, some things, or everything? I want you to think about that as we leave here today. 5 minutes and so, and I'll be down. Humans, even within religions, exude tremendous diversity as to the intriguing a petitioning of God in worship. How you think even impacts your worship. I mean, if things are working out, woo, Lord, thank you.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah. Come on,
hey.
Preach it. That's right. Come on now. That's right.
If you think it's messed up, well, I don't know. Some of us get so caught up in things we forget all about God.
Yeah.
As though He's not even on the scene. As though He's some remote from what I'm going through. And we pray like that. Oh, Lord, come on by here and help me. Help me, Jesus. You sing like that, and I'm not saying you can't sing this song, but that's where it comes from. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here. Come on over here, Lord. Other songs. Oh, Jesus, come see about me. Come see about me. I might say that to you, and you might say that to me, but it doesn't make sense to say that to God.
I hear you.
Lord, can't you see me down here? Can't you see what I'm going through? That's what causes our trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you dismiss God
mm-hmm.
as an outside entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we isolate Him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever isolate God from anything concerning you.
I hear you.
In your mind. He's in there as the essence. And whatever's in that frame, when you get to it, He put it there. As we've said many times, we ask God to move mountains. He didn't put it there to... First of all, no, why is the mountain there? Who brought the mountain there? God did. But He didn't put it there to move it. He put it there to use it. Everybody said purpose. All right, let me finish this up. So that's basically influenced how we pray. What a conclusive, that's by the third line from the bottom. What a conclusive are confusion scopes in situating the variances, that's how things vary or different. The verses of partnerships in participation of functional creation. What is my role? For the most part, your role is to trust God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And of course, that is only as He calls you to understand this. Partnerships and participation of functional creation rather than its other design cadence from the soul source. You know what a cadence is. I'm not a musician, but the drum, you know when somebody just boom, 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 bam, and that can be a cadence of salt too. But there's some order to it. You hear a band marching, a military force marching. and everything is to the Canaanites. Either the sergeant saying left, right, left, or in the case of a band on the field. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. For each one of those beats, it is conveying the picking up or putting down of either the left foot or the right foot. And this is how life is as we close for the day. Oh, that clock. I'm just at the cutoff. Everything moves to the drumbeat of God. Nothing happens. A leaf doesn't fall from the tree in the forest. And no one has to see it. It doesn't matter. But God ordered it. Even the speed of which it falls from the tree and the sequence time from falling from the tree to actually hitting the ground. That's cadence. Oh my God. These are the kind of things that we must understand. We have to stop here for the day, but we just relax. Relax. God help us to relax. Everybody say relax. God's got it under control. The thing is, our relativism is to us. Not to God. We're not looking at God. We're looking at us. We're looking at things. We're looking at people. So our hope and our aspirations are always misplaced and shaky because we're dependent upon the wrong thing. But I think of a song the old people used to sing. You don't hear it too much now. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody say hold.
Oh.
To God's unchanging hand. Again, hold.
Oh.
To God's unchanging hand. Build. Come on. Build. Build. Your hope. Your hope. On things. Eternal. Hold. Hold. To God's unchanging hand.
Glory to Jesus.